Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Yeah. You ready to worship? We've had a warm-up song, right? God is worthy. God is good. At the end of the sermon, at the end of this singing, I hope you'll leave this building saying, I don't want to follow or even think about following anybody but Jesus Christ. I hope you'll see in Him and you'll say, wow, He is awesome, strong, bold, and wonderful, and I'm proud to be His disciple. Man, take that same thought. I can't tell if this thing's out. I guess it is. Take that same thought. And worship Him in the song of Forgotten Left. That makes sense? All right. Love y'all.
You stepped down from heaven.
Oh, about hope at Christmas, what do you normally think about? Now, this is rhetorical, which means you think. And I'm worried sometimes. When you hope at Christmas, do you hope everything's going to work all right? Do you hope you'll be able to pay off all the things you plan to spend on? Do you hope that you get to eat what you want to eat when you want to eat it? If your favorite food group is pie, like Big John and myself, you'd be in that category. We talk about hope. There's no hope at Christmas without Easter. And we need to remember that that hope comes from Him coming, Him living, Him dying, and Him raising again. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's good news. Amen? That at the right time, God laid aside all of His glory. He put on stinky human flesh and became the most helpless creature on planet Earth. You ever thought about that? About 4 hours after a giraffe is born, after he falls like 6-8 feet to the ground, he's galloping around. A horse, a few hours later, is like all wobbly and stuff. But I'm here to tell you, a human baby, like, they're exciting that first day. You're looking at him. I smiled. He knows my voice. I pooped. That's so cute. It's the first time he's ever done that. Oh my goodness. Oh, look, he's winking at me. There's no way that that's just baby born stuff holding his eye closed. And then if you're a daddy, on the second day, you're waiting on him to do something else. The mama holds him over there and he's like, look, he just did this. Like, he's done that before. At 4 a.m, he did that. Twice. And it's another few months before anything. God put on flesh, dwelt among us, born helpless with humble beginnings, lived the life we could not live, to die the death that we deserve but can't die for ourselves, and rose again on the third day. I don't know about y'all, that's something to hope in, amen? And as we stand here and we sing this morning, we sing about that hope that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not Talladega Nights-ing dear 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn baby Jesus in a golden fleece diaper. We're praying to the King of Kings, who is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen?
This is Christmas. This is Jesus.
I'd say Easter eggs would be close to Christmas. I call them Christmas eggs. Christmas gifts. Christmas gifts. Look at that. They all wrapped so pretty. Thank you, Paul. I needed that. All right. Y'all, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. I already told you. There's been a theme in the music today. I don't know if you heard it. Come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him, which is always an appropriate response. This message doesn't conflict with that at all, but I think it would be more like this. You best respect Him. You know, it's a little more, it's got a little more edge to it today, and it's almost like, come, see Him for who He is. Give Him honor. Give Him respect that He deserves. The backdrop for this message, which we'll talk about, just shows the boldness, the courage of Jesus Christ. And I admire it. I mean, when I'm studying the Scripture, and it'll come out, and I hope that you'll come to that place too, where you just say, I admire the boldness of the Son of God in His humanity, and what He said, what He did, and where He was, and how He said all those things. That you'll leave this place saying, I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him. Because I respect Him more than any leader that the world has ever put forth. Because He's not like any leader that the world has ever put forth. He's somebody and something completely different. And He's worthy of our loyalty, honor, and respect. We'll be in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. Now I'm going to go ahead and read those. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded Him and said to Him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. Because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If He called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken? Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. Therefore they sought again to seize Him, but He escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to Him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things John said or spoke about this man were true. And many believed in Him there. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. And Lord, I pray right now that our hearts are warm from praise and worship. We've sang, we've come to adore You in song. Now Your word has been read. May we be just amazed at Your boldness and give You the respect due Your name. Give You the respect due who You are and follow You and be proud to say, I belong to Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my God. And Lord, help us. Help us to have that bold witness to follow You. We love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To understand how bold Jesus is, I got to put this in context for you. Verse 22 gives us a time stamp. It says it was winter time. It was during the time of the Feast of Dedication. Okay? That would have been happening around December 14th, right really close to our time of year. Temperature, weather, stuff like that would be very similar to right now. It's one of those cool texts where, you know, it's kind of like right now time. Okay? It's about 4 months, 3 months before the crucifixion is going to happen. It's in the winter. And Jesus is on the porch, the outward covered porch on the east side of the temple. It doesn't say he's teaching, but very likely he was. But it says all of a sudden the Jews surrounded him while he was in the temple. But the cool thing about it that really stands out for his boldness is what day it was, what time it was. They were celebrating the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was a rather new function in the Jewish community. Which if you think about it, the Jews weren't doing a whole lot of new things. All the other feasts like Passover and Tabernacle and all that, those were outlined in the book of Leviticus 1,000 years ago by Moses. The Feast of Dedication was not in there. That was not one of the old-timey feasts from the law. This was a feast that was commemorating the victory that the Jewish people had over their Greek oppressors. When the Greeks ran Jerusalem, ran Israel, and had control of it, a man rose up. And this is going to make me look smart, but y'all know me better. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Of the Greek Epiphanes. Anyways. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. He was there. He hated God. He hated the Jewish people. And so what he did to show that hatred was to go into the temple in Jerusalem, to gut it, to put up statues and idols of his gods, and to sacrifice pigs and spread it all their blood all over the temple to desecrate the temple. In the book of Daniel, it's called the Abomination of Desolation. Okay? It's a nasty thing that's only going to be superseded by what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do in the end time. Okay? So we're talking about a horrible insult to God. Putting other gods, spreading the blood of pigs throughout the temple to desecrate it. Well, the Jews only took that for so long before they rose up and they fought. And they fought, and for 3 years they fought until they finally won. And when they won, they had taken the Temple Mount back. They had taken the temple, but they were running out of supplies. And they were praying, Lord, just keep the lights on, man. Let the oil last. Let the lights stay on. And God gave them the light. That oil lasted longer than it should. And they just praised God, and they persevered, and they held on throughout the night. It reminds me of like the 4th of July when we sing the Star Spangled Banner. Think about it. You know, they're like wondering, are we still going to fight? But, oh, I see that star-spangled banner out there. The flag is still flying, brothers. We need to fight. We need to persevere. We need to hold on through the night and hold off the enemies. That's the kind of celebration the Feast of Dedication was. They held off the enemies. And all the people in Jerusalem would light lights to commemorate that time. But it was a time to honor God, the one true God, and to say that there was only one God. Like what that says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one God. It was on that feast day that these men surrounded Jesus Christ and began to question him. It was on that feast day, Jesus was in that temple. And he said, I and the Father are one. It was on that day. When everybody had their spiritual religious mojo going on, wanting to protect monotheism, saying that there is only one God, and only one God will be honored in the temple. And Jesus, feet planted firmly on the ground, surrounded by people who had already tried to stone him once, did not hide the truth of who he was, but said, I and the Father are one. Woo! It flipped their lids. Smoke coming out the ears, grabbing up rocks again to hit them. They said they grabbed up stones again to get them. I just want you to feel that tension. All of us feel tension when we come in somewhere where we're not comfortable speaking about things that we might believe in, that we might really like. Think about it. We live in a time now when it's not even polite to say who you vote for, who you like, and all those things because it's going to start a fight. Imagine you walk into certain crowds and you think, oh, I'm not going to say what my political sides are here. Oh, I'm not going to lean toward this or that because we kind of cow down a little bit. Or we might even do that with the Lord and say, this doesn't seem like a place that's friendly towards Jesus. I'm going to kind of shut up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say things. We get cowed a little bit. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. If there was ever a time for him to shut up about who he was, it would have been on the Feast of Dedications while standing in the temple surrounded by people who wanted to kill him. That would have been the time to shut up. That would have been the time to zip the lip. That would have been the time to say, peace, I'm out. It's winter, I'm cold, I'm going back. But he didn't. He said, I and my Father are one. And it just blew them away. There's nobody like Jesus for boldness. When I think about that, I'm like, you know what? I want to follow him. He is never going to turn back on who he is. He's never going to turn back on what he says he's going to do. He's never going to stop. No enemy is going to come up to him and say, you better back off. You better shut up about who you are. You better stop saying these things. And Jesus is going to go, well, you're right. You're right. I can't do it. Uh-uh. He's going to stand right up and say, I'm going through you. Your stones don't scare me. Your hateful looks don't scare me. Standing in your temple don't scare me. Your religion don't scare me. Matter of fact, hell and death and the devil, they don't scare me neither. Because I'm going to walk right through them too. And I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go up and I'm going to come back and I'm going to run this whole thing. You watch. I want to follow him. I mean, there's a whole lot of other people who claim to be something, but Jesus is something. We're going to look at some of the details here, but I just want you to get that tension. There was a showdown, and I love it because Jesus doesn't ever back down. Side note, well, let's get in here. It says, first thing is, if you're going to play show and tell with Jesus, you better be careful what you ask for. If you're going to say, Lord, just show me. Lord, just tell me. Lord, just lead me. Just give me direction, Lord. Just help me out. You better be careful what you ask for because he ain't going to back down from you either. He ain't going to just sugarcoat things because you're so friendly and nice and pitiful and soft. He's going to tell you like it is, isn't he? He's going to tell you the truth. Jesus is the truth. I am the truth, he says. Woo! He don't back down from us. These folks said, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly who you are. All right. You ready? Jesus didn't bust up into the temple shouting, me and the Father are one. They asked him, tell us plainly who you are. That's what he declared. He's never going to back off the truth. So you be careful. If you say, Lord, just get me out of this and I'll do what you tell me. You better be ready to do what he tells you. Lord, just show me what the problem is. If he brings a mirror in front of your face, don't cry. What's holding me back from spiritual growth? What's happening? Why am I stalled out? Why am I in this rut? And he brings a mirror in front of your face. Don't shake your fist at him. Repent. Apologize. Surrender. Go where he tells you to go. Do what he tells you to do. Because he's going to tell you the truth too, so you be careful what you ask. Jesus starts off, right before he tells me, he says, first off, you've seen what I've done and you've heard what I've said. You've seen what I've done and you've heard what I said. They said, tell us plainly who you are. Jesus starts off by saying, I've already told you. And you just haven't believed me. Let's just pause that for a second. I wonder how many people in our area have heard about Jesus, but they just don't believe. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something. They're looking for freedom. They're looking for strength. They're looking for salvation and acceptance and grace and mercy and a higher purpose to live for. Someone to respect that they can follow. And you say, let me tell you about Jesus. They say, oh, I've heard that before. Heard that before, but they didn't believe. Because when you believe, you become part of the family of the twice born. You know, when you believe, something happens in you. God takes you on as his own sheep. But I'm telling you, I believe there's a lot of people, even around here, they've heard it, but they don't believe. He says, I told you, but you don't believe. He says, my works bear witness of me. The things that I do. When you see the things that I do, you ought to know who I am. Let me ask you something. Has Jesus stopped working in our time? What does he do now? What does he do? In the Gospel of John, he opened blind eyes. He helped the lame to walk. He cast out demons.
In the gospel, you know, if we go to the other gospels up to this point, he multiplied food and gave loaves and fishes. I mean, he did all kind of things. What does Jesus do now? You reckon he still heals? Are you sure? You reckon he still provides when it seems like there's no other way to provide? What about saving? You reckon he still saves? You know what that means? There's still works that we could see Jesus do in the lives of people that should make us say, yeah, I believe. I've seen what he's done. I know it was him. And you know what? You might say all those other things outside of myself I can't truly attest for. But if you've been changed by Jesus, you can truly attest to the power and work of God, can't you? Because God's done something in you. This is how strong Jesus is on this stance about his works. Verse 37 and 38, it says, if I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Here's Jesus just laying it on the line. You might not believe what I say, but you ought to believe what I do. We have a saying for that around here, don't we? We say this, actions speak louder than... That's what Jesus was saying here. He's like, y'all want to be skeptical about what I'm saying? What about what I'm doing? How loud do my actions speak? Now, Jesus, I believe, is working today. When we look in the Scripture, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the works he did then? I do too. The great one being that the grave could not hold him. Do you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Man, what a place to say, I don't know about y'all, but I believe Jesus Christ is alive today. And because of that, I'm all in. Thank you, Lord. I want to follow you. Who is like you? Who is like him? Nobody. He also has his words, his voice. He said to these people who were asking him, he said, you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And he wasn't talking about the decibel level of his voice. He wasn't talking about the ear canal and all those things that make your hearing work. He was talking about there is no penetration of his words into your soul. They weren't hearing it. They're asking, tell us plainly. He says, I've told you, but you won't believe me. I've showed you, but you won't believe me because you can't hear my voice. They heard him speaking. Nothing wrong with their auditory functions. They just couldn't get it. You might say, was it their fault or is it God's doing? Is all what's going on? Man, I ain't even here to parse that out. Here's what I'm saying. If you don't hear his voice inside you, ask him. Ask him to make you alive. Ask him to make you his. Ask him to be his sheep. Eventually, we know from last week's sermon, we know from up here in verse 16 of chapter 10, there will be just one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is going to be that shepherd. And if you hear his voice, you'll be a part of that flock. And that's the only place you're going to want to be. One flock, one shepherd. And you want to be in on that. The words that Jesus speaks, the word that he's given us. And not just the red letters. I like the red letter song, don't get me wrong. Because I read the red letters and all those things too. But this book contains, it's the word of God. You can hear his voice from beginning to end and through the middle. If you can, ask him. Ask him for help. Ask him to open up. Maybe there's a reason, but don't play games with not being his sheep. Jesus told these folks, you aren't my sheep. That's why you don't hear my voice. Woo! I don't want to hear that. He was in the temple. These were religious folks. He is the good shepherd. And he said, you're not my sheep. You want to be his sheep. You want to hear his voice. If you can't, ask him. He knows how to open the ears of those who can't hear, especially when you're talking about that spiritual hearing that he's talking about. He knows how to open that up and make you hear his voice. After that, he tells them. He tells them the plain truth. In verse 30, they're asking who you are, and he says, I and the Father are one. You might say, well, did they know what he was saying? Oh, yeah. That's when they went and picked up rocks to stone him. That's when they accused him of blaspheming. That's when they said, oh, that's when they projected on him. They projected on Jesus that which they were probably themselves doing and comes very natural to human beings. They thought Jesus was trying to make himself out to be someone he wasn't. They accused Jesus of blaspheming, and this is what they said. We stone you, not for good works, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. They understood exactly how plain he spoke when he said, I and my Father are one. They said, you're trying to make yourself God. Human beings, let me talk to half of us, men folk. We trying to, a lot of times, look like something we're not. Either stronger, braver, smarter, or funnier. And why are we doing that? To impress chicks. Well, you know, at some point or another. We don't want them to know that we're kind of squirmy-whirly, you know? We don't want them to know we got a soft inner belly and our spine's not always as bold as we'd like to make it out to be. Or our shoulders aren't quite as broad. We'd like to put on a face that says, we're stronger, braver, smarter. We're courageous. We're fearless. Except for when something scary happens. We project that. They projected that on Jesus. I just ain't going to tease you women because I'm not that brave. You know, I'm not going to say nothing about maybe some of the facades and the things that we go on, but we'll just let you all run away with that. I'm just telling you, men folk do that too. And they projected that on Jesus. Listen to what they said to him. You being a man are making yourself, you make yourself God. Can I tell you something? If you have to make a God, that's an idol, right? If you have to pretend like you're God, then you're not God. Can I tell you, Jesus is not making himself God. He is God. He's not making himself the Savior. He is the Savior. He's not making himself out to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's not pretending like he can defeat death. He is the death defeater. He's not pretending like he can open blind eyes. He opens blind eyes. He saves souls. He is who he says he is. Just like in the Old Testament, God said, I am who I am. Jesus is the Son of God. He ain't making himself out to be nobody. You know why I want to follow Jesus and why he deserves my respect? He ain't pretending, not an ounce, not an inch. He ain't playing. He don't got a mask. He's as vulnerable and transparent as anybody can be, and he's got it. He is it. He is the one, the only, the Messiah, the Christ. He is the seed of the woman who stomps the head of the serpent. He is that one who was born of a virgin. He is the one who was born in Bethlehem to rule the people. He is that one. He's not trying to be him. He's not making himself out to be that. He is that. Y'all get that about Jesus? That's who he is. When he said, I and the Father are one, it was like, wow. Right there, during the Feast of Dedication, during the time when they're trying to say there is no God but God, here's this guy saying, I'm the same as him. And they're like, we're going to kill you. It didn't seem to bother them. It would bother me. I can try to be tough, but if y'all surrounded me with rocks, I'd probably start trying to negotiate something. What's that? I'm out. When Muhammad was trapped, when he first tried to take Mecca, they said, are you the prophet of God? If you say yes, we're going to kill you. And the only way you're getting out of here is if you deny it. And you read the history of Islam. He denied being the prophet of God to save his life that he might live to fight another day. No respect. Jesus Christ, standing in the temple, surrounded by those who are going to kill him with rocks. Who are you? Me and the Father are one. Full respect. Does that make sense? Let me talk about how he's one with the Father. He says, I'm one with the Father. We can look at that from the sense of essence. Okay? Meaning who He is. There is only one God. There are not many gods. Jesus is not one God. Father's not one God. Holy Spirit's not one God. It's one God, three persons. Okay? I know that that's a complicated truth. It's a complex truth. But can I tell you, a complex truth is always better than a simple lie? A complex truth is always better than a simple lie. Every single time. You might not always understand the truth, but cling to it. I can't fully tell you, say, John, how does that work that there's one God and three persons? When we get to heaven, we'll talk to Him forever about it. I just know it's the way it is. So Jesus wasn't lying when He said, I and the Father are one. He's talking about in the express image of God. There He is. In the very likeness of God. There He is. To the point where later on He's going to tell His disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's how much. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Man, one in essence. He's also one in works. He was one in the works. The works which Jesus did, He wasn't just like freewheeling it. He wasn't just like, you know, today I'll multiply fish, and today I'll walk on water, and today I'll do this, and today I'll do that. He was doing the things that the Father showed Him to do. He was doing the things the Father told Him to do. When God was working miracles, when Christ was working miracles, He was working the miracles the Father showed Him to do. They were one. God wasn't up there going, man, that was a good one. I didn't even think of that. That was awesome. Do it again. Do it again. There was a oneness in the miracles that they worked. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, if I don't do the works of My Father, don't believe Me. But if I do the works of My Father, you need to believe Me because of the works. Believe that God's in Me and I'm in Him and we're one doing these works. Aren't you glad that God still... When I read this word, I don't have this trapped in time somewhere. God isn't trapped in time somewhere. He is still a miracle-working, wonder-working, powerful God who created all these things and sustains all these things. If you want to know the great power of God in your life, go like this. Take your two fingers like this and put them right here. God's at work. He's at work in you. It's pretty cool, isn't it? How many of you thought this morning, before you woke up, I need to wake up now. I need to make my heartbeat go rapidly. I'm not the English guy, that's Keith. Hey, Keith. Hey, other Keith. Man, we go to sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm out, man. Until it's time to roll over because I've cooked one shoulder too much. You know? But I'm out. I'm not controlling anything. It's God who raises me up. It's God who... I don't give a second thought to whether I'm breathing unless something happens bad to my breathing. Or my heart beating until something bad happens to my heart beating. Or my brain waving until something bad happens to it. So if I'm not consciously aware of it, who's sustaining me? Yeah, somebody else more powerful. I know we say, well, we have this auto thing. Well, who made the auto? Who put the expiration date on your battery that's in your chest anyway? How much fluid is your kidneys going to filter? We know some of these things that we're sustained by God. But if we want to go further, who keeps... Man, we've seen pictures of this planet from outer space, the big old blueberry floating around in our... Man, it's a wonderful thing that God has done to sustain this world. And when's it going to end? When God says it's finished. Literally what He's going to say in the book of Revelation from the throne. When the seventh trumpet, when the seventh bowl is poured out, it's going to say, it is finished. Phew. And everything comes to an end. He's holding it all together by the word of His power. Man, it's like, wow, that's a powerful, wonder-working God in our day. We ought to give them love and respect. Lastly, they're one in purpose. Not just in works and power, but in purpose. Do you know what the purpose... What purpose did Jesus come here? Why did Jesus come? Why did God send Christ? What did He come in the world to do? I'm hearing it. I love y'all. Y'all are a smart church. Y'all listen. Religion will take the simple truth of what God has done and they'll wrap it up in ornamental paper and they'll put it in the curio cabinet next to the precious moments that you're never supposed to touch. And you just look at it from afar. You don't understand it. You don't get close to it. But here's the simple truth. Jesus came to save. Here's a truth worthy of all acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. That's the purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Was that His solo mission? No. He and the Father are one in purpose. And I want you to see this and hear it. He says, I give them, in verse 28, well, let me go to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let's stop. Woo! Because that's enough. That's enough for me. Jesus says, I'm going to have a relationship with my sheep. They're going to hear my voice. They will know me and they will follow me. Let me be in that flock, dear Lord. Let me be in your flock. One shepherd, one flock. That's where I want to be, following Jesus. Jesus says, now, I'm going to give them something. What are you going to give us, Lord? Eternal life. Life with no end. That's another word for salvation. When God does a work of salvation, it is a work without end. It is an eternal life. Now, just to give you an example of eternal life and all those things, it is a spiritual work. Okay? All of us, and y'all are beautiful, wonderful people. Okay? And I'm seeing, and y'all can look around at each other, you know, we see life in each other's eyes, in our emotions, in our animation. I mean, compared to, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but you know, when we go to a funeral and we see our loved one there, we notice something's different. The life, the spark is gone. Where, you know, it's not in the body. It's not contained in the body any longer. Jesus says, I give you a life that does not get snuffed out with the body. That life that makes your eyes sparkle, makes you who you are. I'm going to give you life eternal, everlasting, and it will never perish. It will never perish. I've grown up long enough to know that I don't often say never when it's within my control. I've learned the hard way. You know, like before you have kids and you say, my kids will never do that. And you go, you're so stupid. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't say that down here. You say, bless your pea-picking heart. Because you know whatever you just said, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen that way. I'll never say never. Somebody say, I would never do that. I go, okay, I hope not for you because you never know what you're never going to do. I don't have the power to be saying never. I don't have the power to say always either. It's not within me to do always. I hear parents say to their kids, well, meaningly, I'll always be with you and I'll never let anything bad happen to you. Except for the lies I just told you out of the well-meaning of my heart. Because never and always is not something you can pull off. But this isn't you or me talking. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. There's something about the quality of life that Jesus gives to you and I that never, ever ends. Ever. The Son of God said it. Not this guy. That guy, and he knows how to say it. He knows what he was saying, and he meant it. And they'll never, ever end. He gives you eternal life. And if that wasn't enough, he protects that eternal life that he gave you. He says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. As if there's an enemy of our souls, which there is, who's trying to snatch us out of the hands of Christ, which there is. He says, they will never succeed at taking away the gift I've given you, because you're in my hand. Or if you look at it like this, Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. What lion is going to scare off that shepherd? What wolf is going to scare off that shepherd? What thief, robber, or killer is going to scare off Jesus as the shepherd? Not even one, not even close. Nobody or nothing is going to snatch them out of the hands of Jesus. Jesus says, they're in my hand, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. He's got me sold right there. So what he says in verse 29 is completely over the top. Ridiculous, crazy. He says in verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So Jesus says, look, when I give you eternal life, when you're my sheep, I got you in my hand. You'll never perish. No one can steal you. And by the way, my Father's got it all in His hands. So there ain't nothing, no way, no how, no where you're going. When I got you, I got you. And you're mine forevermore. We ain't playing this religious thing of am I in or am I out? Am I His or am I not? Am I saved today? Am I lost today? Phooey. Junk. No good. Lies. If you're in His hand, you're in His hand. No one takes you out. Not even you. Not even you. Man, He didn't save you because you were good. He didn't save you because you was going to be good someday. He saved you because He loved you. And when you're in His hands, you're in His hands. And He's given you what He's got, and it's eternal life. And no one ever, never can take it from you. He's given it to you. They would have to be stronger. Yeah. They'd have to be stronger than Christ. They'd have to be stronger than the Father to pry His hands open, take you from Him. You would have to be stronger than Christ. You would have to be stronger than God the Father to walk out of what He's given you. And I got a news flash. You ain't. You're not. Yeah. Ain't. I'm looking at the English department after I said ain't. I feel like I just got a red circle in a line. Amen. He gives you eternal life, and it's never going to be anything but eternal life. He can't get, if He gives you eternal life, how long has it got to last by definition? I'm just asking. It's just a logical thing, right? He could have called it some kind of life, you know, long-term life insurance, something, whole life. I don't know. He could have called it a lot of things, but He called it eternal life. I give them eternal life. Never perish. No one can take them from me. Amen. And you know what? It's one of the ways that He and the Father are one in bringing salvation to the lost creation. And He ain't pretending to be our Savior. He ain't pretending to be our Shepherd. He is. And it's wonderful. Now, this message of oneness that didn't get taken so well, like I said, they tried to hit Him with rocks. They tried to arrest Him. It just reminds me that some things don't ever change. Haters are going to hate. Haters are going to hate. They're going to be those people who are always going to say, no, Jesus isn't this. Jesus isn't that. We had one man who's gone on now to find out about things in the spiritual realm. He was a famous atheistic author, and he's passed on now, which just means he knows something firsthand that we don't. But he, in his books, always said not only not to believe in Jesus, but that it was wrong to believe in Jesus. It was wrong to follow Him. He made himself an enemy of Christ. There's always going to be those. We don't have to hate back. We just need to recognize. And then we need to affirm our loyalty for who Christ is. They accused Jesus of blaspheming for making Himself out to be God. Verses 34 through 36 is kind of a complex thing that it's hard to explain. But Jesus quotes Psalm 82 and says essentially this. If God called those people at that time gods to whom the Word of God came, how much more does the one whom God really sent, who he sanctified, who he made holy and purposed for the point of being Savior of the world, how much more is he worthy of the title, the Son of God? How much more worthy of our respect, our loyalty and love is the real God? If God would use the small g term and call them, I say you are gods. If you read that psalm, interpreters are divided on it. I have a tendency to think that he's speaking about human authorities who have made themselves out to be like God. And that God stands up in the midst of them and says, no matter how lofty you think you are and how powerful you think you are, you think you're gods, you're going to die just like every other man will die. And God warns them in that passage of Scripture. You go back and read Psalm 82. Other people say that he's speaking about little g gods like celestial gods, like in a council of spiritual beings among whom God stands up as El Elyon, the most high God. And he says, you all will die like men. Because there ain't nobody, whether God or man, who has a shadow of an inkling close to who the real God is. And Jesus said, if they were worthy of that title, I'm worthy of it a million times more. That's his argument right there. Some things never change. There's always going to be haters. And Jesus is always going to be worthy of the most exalted titles. Those things won't change. Now, based on this, based on the boldness that Jesus has shown, I want to ask you about the boldness of your witness. What it was, what it will be, and what it is. Okay? So, in this last part, we see that after Jesus escapes their second attempt in this passage we read to arrest him and kill him, it says Jesus escaped out of their hand. And then he went again back to the place of baptism, back where John was baptizing at first. I want you to think right now about your witness. What has your witness been since you were baptized? Since you made your public profession of faith in Christ, what has your witness been from that time till now? Has it been bold? Has it been real? I'm not asking you to beat yourself up, just to think about it. I mean, nobody's perfect. But in light of Jesus' boldness, it's a good time to evaluate our witness. I like when he said he went back to the place of baptizing. It makes me think, let's go back to the time when we were baptized. Now, I was baptized in 1995 in a dirty water. It was wintertime. I think it was either February or March, which is still very much winter in Michigan. And the baptistry just hadn't been used in a while, and it just came out murky. You know, like just, and there was no time to like change it around, you know what I'm saying? And it was cold. And even though we were inside, up north we say the heat kicks on, you know, around July, and the air conditioning starts around September, you know. So anyways, so it was in the air conditioning time of the year. We don't have central heat and air up there. It's not a necessity like it is down here. We just kind of grin and bear it, but it's not near as unbearable, at least in the summertime. Oh, my goodness. So they put me in that murky water, and they baptized me, and they brought me up, and I think about it, you know. What has my witness been like? Where are places I need to improve? When have I been cowed? How can I look more like Christ? How can I follow Him better? How can I show my love, respect, and loyalty and honor for Him better? How can I come and adore Him better in my witness? So you think about that. When were you baptized? Johnny mentioned earlier, we're having a baptism coming up December 15th. If you've not followed Christ and made your public profession of faith, or if it's somehow out of order in the sense that you were baptized and then you came to be saved, I encourage you, ask the Lord if He'd have you to be baptized and to give Him honor in that way. But think about it. Go back. But now I want you to look forward. I want you to look forward not to the baptism box, but to that other day, that other box that will come for all of us one day, and people are given a talk about you and everything you've said about Christ, everything you've done for His kingdom in this body. It's done. It's done. It's your special day. You're the guest of honor in the box. What are people going to say about your witness that day? What will your witness be like from this day forward? Because that's what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about, did she shine a light on Christ? Did she glow with who Christ is? Did she share a witness? This is what it says about John the Baptist. This is one of the last testimonies that we get about John in the Gospels. It says, many came to him and said, John performed no signs, but all the things John spoke about this man were true. John the Baptist at this time was gone. He's gone to his reward. Herod had already arrested and had him beheaded, and he was gone, man. But people were still saying this. All the things he spoke about Jesus were true. You got a truth-telling ministry about Jesus? Do you know that involves two things? Truth and telling. All the things John spoke about Jesus were true. What do you say about Jesus? When it's time for us to talk about you, what are we going to say you said about Jesus? Is it going to be bold? What changes need to happen? What repentance needs to happen? Think about it. Lastly, I want you to think about your witness today. Be a believer today. Believe today. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but when you read back through the Gospel of John, see how many times Jesus is just challenging people. He says, you don't believe, but they do believe. Later on in the Gospel, we're going to get to where he says, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. To me, I think if the Lord was here, he'd say, even like he says in this, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe what I'm doing. Believe. A lot of us are waiting to get hit by some kind of spiritual lightning rod, bolt, something. Some mystical experience going to float on us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Believe. With the mouth confession is made. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. Believe. Are you a believer today? You know how you build a good testimony for the eulogy? By being a believer today. Be a believer today. Man, cling to your faith today. Lift high your faith today. Say to the Lord. You don't have to get saved all over again. You can't get saved all over again. Just tell them you believe. Affirm your faith to them. Let them know that you love them. If you're here today, and you've never believed, this is the time. We have a time of invitation. The band's going to sing and play a song. And during that time, if you need to make any kind of decision for the Lord, if you need to be baptized, if you need to join the church, if you need to be saved, if you need to say, today, for the first day, I'm going to believe. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be good enough to be accepted. I'm simply going to believe Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'm turning my life to Him. Maybe today's that day for you. Maybe it's the day you need to do that. Okay? Whatever it is, it's the time to respond now. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be here, to sing Your praise, to hear Your Word, and now to respond. There was many in that day that believed. It says many believed. Father, I wonder if someone here would say, today's my day, I need to believe. Maybe there's a lot of believers here who live their life as if really they're not believing, but today they need to say, Lord, I do believe. I want to reaffirm my faith in You. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to grow in our witness. Help us to follow boldly after our shepherd with whom there is no one to compare Him with because He's one of a kind. We love You, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Have the ushers come forward for the morning offering. As they do, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for these young men who come and take up the offering for us. And Father, we bless you for what we have. We look to you as our good shepherd, our provider, and give us boldness to follow you, to be about your business, because you have so surely saved us. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sitting there trying to sing. Well, I see singing. It just don't work. Sometimes you just got to sit and listen and enjoy. Oh, that was wonderful. I want to give you a couple reasons to rejoice today. First, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Terry, who's come down and said he feels like the Lord is leading him to join with Christ Community Church. And praise God for that. I already gave him the informed consent. I said, the Lord works here because he's given really incompetent leadership. And so we are fully dependent on Jesus. That's our strategy. And so anyways, we receive membership through a membership class. We'll be having that class on December 15th. And so if anybody else is feeling so led, that's the time. We talk about your salvation, because belonging to a church but not belonging to Jesus don't do you no good. Okay? So we talk about you being saved, and we talk about some of the particulars and peculiars of Christ Community Church. Okay? And at the end of that, we give people an opportunity to join if they so would like. And so you're welcome to that. The other thing I would like to say is on this day, December 1st, 63 years ago, that for the first time ever in the universe was the announcement made. Mr. and Mrs. L.G. Schmitz. Woo! So if you've been married 63 years and you're at least 82 years old, will you please stand? Amen! That's what I'm talking about. There's some high cards right there. If we was playing poker, they just took all the chips. And so, I've played poker once, and I've heard other people talk about it. With that, we're back on our regular schedule. So we're having church, you know, this Wednesday. We're having Jesus Saves Bro this Thursday. There's a men's, I keep saying men's Bible study. It's really not. I'm sorry, ladies. You all can come. We will not throw you out. On Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we have Bible study for whomever wants to come. Just everyone is welcome. And so, but we're back on regular schedule. We're going to be drawing for those rifles. Jamie knows about that. Also, I got this here. Y'all, this is part of what our worship ministry has put out. And it's a beautiful thing to try to help you, try to help us as families. If you want one of these for your family, it's not just for every individual in your family, but one per household type thing. All it is a daily scripture reading and a reminder during the season of Advent, which is the time that's leading up to Christmas. It's just to get your mind thinking on what Christ has done. So if you haven't received one of these, you can get one. We've given out 50. We've given out almost 50 of them. That's households, which is pretty good. But if you'd like one, you probably just need to see Sarah, and she'll take your name, and she can get you a hard copy one. Or if you want it digital, I think they could text Sarah, and she could ship it to you, however that works, over the air. You know, she'll email it to you. I'm like, I don't know what happened. They're like, blah, blah, like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I have no idea. But hey, get involved in the good things going on. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. And ready, break. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.